We'll be looking at John chapter 15 today. If you want to turn there, we're going to continue our journey through the book of John as we're doing all throughout this year. Next year, next week, we don't always go in chronological order, but next week we'll be in John 16. So there's your prompt. Read John 16 before next Sunday so you're ready for the message, okay? Man, it's good to see all of our youth sitting up here. I love that. I love seeing you guys just as a group. See, I don't care where you sit, but I just love seeing you guys as a group. So John chapter 15. So it's an incredible privilege and an incredible responsibility to share the Word of God with the church this morning. I don't take that lightly, and I covet your prayers as I deliver the message today and next week as well. I have to be abiding in Christ, and you're going to hear that today. I have to be in tune with the Lord completely in order to share what He would have me to share with you. So I just covet your prayers. Again, it's an awesome responsibility. It's also an awesome privilege to do that. So let's look at John chapter 15. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11. We're going to break that down verse by verse. There's a lot there, but I promise we'll be out by next Saturday so we can start again next Sunday. So let's look at that. John chapter 15. Some of these verses you're going to be familiar with if you're a mature believer in Christ, if you've been a Christian for a long time, or for a while, some of these verses are going to sound familiar, and they should. In verse 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. So here we see this scripture, and let's set the context for this scripture to make sure we understand it properly. So first of all, when you're looking at these 11 verses, again, some of them familiar, we can't not see the forest because of the trees, okay? So the overall theme of these 11 verses, and let's not lose track of this, is abide in me. That's what Jesus says. He says, abide in me. But he's speaking primarily to two different groups. And we'll see this in the scripture, and I'll show it to you. But two different groups. The first group he is speaking to is those who are clean, those who are justified. And we'll look at that. Those who are saved, those who have accepted Christ as their Savior and are following Him. That's one group. The other group is kind of a unique group that he is speaking to. And again, these are all the words of Jesus. But that group is those who have been close to him, who have been close to the light per se, who have been close to his teachings and perhaps even enjoy his teachings, but they've not committed to Christ. He is not their Lord and Savior. So that's the second group, and he'll address both groups. So let's look, starting in verse 1, and we'll break it down verse by verse. First of all, he says, I am the true vine. Picture this. What is the setting here? Well, this is the Last Supper. That's the setting. So Jesus is with his disciples. And so as the disciples perhaps look around, they're seeing the lamb, the sacrificial lamb that's ready for the meal. They're seeing the fruit of the vine. They're seeing the bread. And Jesus speaks to them about those things, but then he says this, I am the true vine. And so he brings this allegory in these first 11 verses, and the disciples understand this because they're seeing, okay, well, here we have the wine in front of us that came from the vine, and so it is the fruit of the vine. So now he's saying, I am the true vine. So they're understanding this. It's in context for them, and I want it to be in context for us as well. That is the setting. He says, I am the true vine. He is setting that up. Doesn't that just make you go, okay, go farther with that because I want to hear what you have to say. I am the true vine. Yes, I get that. So that's how Jesus starts. And then he says, and my Father is the vine dresser. So he's setting those roles in this allegory. And so the vine dresser is God the Father in this allegory. So we know, or perhaps you don't, and let me help you if you don't understand. I don't grow grapes at the house. You know, I grow weeds really well. That's about the best I can do at the house. Some flowers, you know, I love my climbing rose, and I even tried to work it into my sermon today, and it didn't quite make it. I'm like, no, it's about grapes. It's not about roses. I should have made it work, though. But anyway, the vine dresser is the one who comes and prepares the soil and trims the branches and just really takes care of those branches so that they do what? Well, so that they produce fruit, because that's the whole idea. If you're planting grapevines, you want to have grapes. All right, so that's the sermon, I guess, in its simplest form. If you're going to plant grapevines, you want to have grapes. But I think you're smarter than that. We can go farther. So that's the vine dresser. So he says that his heavenly Father, that God the Father, my Father, is the vine dresser. Don't miss the fact that Jesus here, too, is saying that God the Father is the head. We try to understand the Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Trinity, they work together as one. And they are one, but they are separate as well. And here Jesus makes the distinction. He says, my Father is the vine dresser. So what does the vine dresser do? He does the work. So in this allegory, when we read this, it is God the Father who is going to do the things that we are going to read about. Keep that in mind. Let's look at verse 2. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Who's he? The vine dresser. God the Father. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. So it is God the Father who is the vine dresser. God the Father is working in our lives. He is our creator. He created us for a purpose. And he is going to prune us and shape us and challenge us and call us to accomplish that purpose. That's me and that's you. So keep that in mind. That's what he's doing here. In verse 3, he says, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." Now, don't think we're going through these verses this quick. I'm just getting to the meat of it. If you're like, okay, he's on verse 3, there's 11, we're out of here, I'll go ahead and make my reservations. Don't. Not yet. I'm going to slow down, okay? But he says, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken you." Here's what we have. That verse seems kind of like out in left field, right? We're talking about the vine and the vine dresser and the branches. And then all of a sudden he says, "You're already clean." Okay, keep in mind, again, the context. Who is Jesus speaking to? He's speaking to his disciples at the Last Supper. But not everybody. There's one who is now missing from his presence. And that is Judas. Judas is gone at this point in this conversation. So when Jesus says to the other 11, "You are already clean," what he is saying, if you remember Bruce's sermon from last week, what he is saying is, you are justified. You are saved. Now, he couldn't say that to Judas. Look back just a little bit, a couple chapters. Look back to chapter 13, still in the book of John. But look at chapter 13 and verse 10. Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed," he's speaking to Peter here. You remember when Jesus was washing their feet and Peter said, "Oh no, Lord, Don't wash my feet. I won't let you do it." And Jesus said, "I have to wash your feet." And he told him why. And he said, "Well, then wash all of me, Lord. Wash all of me." And Jesus said this in verse 10. He said, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." So he was saying, I only need to wash your feet because you're already clean, meaning you are already justified in Christ, but not all of you. Why did he say but not all of you? Because Judas was there. And Judas was not justified in Christ. So he said, not all of you are clean. But now what we see in chapter 15, he says, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." So he's saying the rest of you, the 11 of you, are clean. You are justified. I'm speaking to all of you. So his audience is the other 11 disciples who are all justified in Christ. And what he's trying to tell them, now make sure you get this, what he's trying to tell them is simple, in simplest form, listen to me, in simplest form he's trying to say, don't be like Judas. Don't be like Judas, who came and followed me and loved all the religious things that were going on and benefited from the things I did, but he never truly committed himself to me. And therefore he was not clean. And he was cut away. That's important for these verses. So when he says, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you," in verse 3, he's setting the stage for his message with his disciples. So let's look at verse 4. What does he say? He says, "Abide in me." Abide in me. He's speaking to those who have committed themselves to Him, who are justified. And He says, abide in Me. What does it mean to abide in Christ? Our Bible study group a couple weeks ago, or 3 or 4 weeks ago, we began to explore this. What does it mean to abide in Christ? I just want you to run that through your mind a little bit here. That's a daily walk with Christ. That's what that is. That's a daily walk with Christ. Okay, well, what does that look like? Well, we're going to see in the other verses what that should look like. But here's something I want everybody to understand that the Lord has just kind of laid on my heart in my ministry here, I don't know, for a while, but it just continues to be the forefront of my ministry. And when I say my ministry, you guys know I'm not a pastor. I don't work for the church per se. Or I have a full-time job. All right? I have things I have to get done. But if I'm a Christian, I'm a minister. You too. If you're a Christian, you're a minister. You have a ministry. And so our daily walk with Christ, we are all, and here's what the Lord has just revealed to me, we are all so very busy. We're busy. Our world is busy. Our world keeps us busy, perhaps at the hand of Satan, the prince of this world, to distract us from godly things. But as I go through my day, I look at last week, and if you don't know, I'm a principal at the Youth Opportunity Center. The kids came back to school on Wednesday for Muncie Schools and many other schools as well. So everybody back in school? No one not in school yet? No, we're getting you there, my friend. You're going to be part of my story. You just don't know it. Now they know who it's going to be. But anyway, so I thought, man, last week I'm thinking, okay, Monday, we've got to be at Muncie Central High School. It's the whatever you call it, where everybody comes back, the coming back meeting, let me say it that way, where all the teachers and all the Muncie School administrators, we all meet, and then we go over, hey, here's what our goals are for this year, and things like that, and it's just kind of a hurrah, hurrah. And speaking of that, Old Town Hill was recognized as a partner with the Youth Opportunity Center last year, as a community partner. The certificate's out there on the back. We don't do it to be recognized, but I want to let you guys know we were kind of recognized that ceremony. That's a different story. But anyway, I'm thinking, man, I've got to do this. I have a new employee coming. I've got to get her all set up, make sure things are good there. Man, we've got these kids coming in all these different groups, and I had to make sure that's done. And, oh, I got to get my truck over to Ohio on Tuesday. I got to make sure I get that done. Of course, I've got to study. I've got my morning devotions that I'm doing on Facebook and TikTok, and I've got to be ready for that. I'm preaching next week, and so I really got to immerse myself in the Word of God and get ready for that. Oh, yeah, Monday, the contractor's coming out because we're getting a new roof because of the weather, and so we've settled that with the insurance company almost. I still got to deal with that, but they're coming out. Talk about the roof, and well, while we're doing the roof, we might as well put on a front porch. So we're going to look at the front porch, and I got to meet with them about that. And it's on and on and on. That was part of my week last week. I'm no busier than you, okay? I don't know. Some of you are busier than me, but anyway, we're all very, very busy. So we can look at that. I can get up on Monday morning and be all stressed out about the busyness of my schedule. Or I can get up on Monday morning, get into the Word of God, even if it's just for a little bit, and say, okay, all of the busyness of my schedule, those are all opportunities for me to produce fruit, what God has called me to do. If I walk through my day with Christ, my stress level is 100% diminished, if not completely gone, all right? And I know, okay, Lord, we're going to do this, and then we're going to do this, and then we're going to do this. And by the end of the day, when the sun goes down, it's all done. And what didn't get done wasn't God's will. And what did get done was God's will. And it's just amazing how your day is different when you approach it in that manner. The key being starting your day with Scripture. Starting your day with the Lord. Focusing on Him. That's what it means in one respect to abide in Christ. Whatever I do, it is to produce fruit because God created me to glorify Him. And so in all things, I must glorify Him. I need to look at every situation and say, how is it that I can glorify God in this situation? And then it's amazing what God does with your busy schedule. I was kind of amazed, and this is my little bit of a story. I'm trying to get one of our young men hooked up with a special program that we have that's absolutely amazing. It's called Youth Build. It's not very well known, and it needs to be, but it's amazing to where students can finish their high school diploma. They also go to Ivy Tech, and they are given a skill. They learn a skill like forklift driving or something like that, and they're given a certification in that. They also go out and they do hands-on work with construction, and they learn construction, all while finishing their high school diploma. And here's the thing, they get paid to do it. They get paid to do it. But it's kind of a challenge sometimes. So I thought, man, I got to get a hold of a certain superintendent, and I got to get him on board with this so we can get, he's the only one that can sign the form. And so Monday, I was in my office, and not Monday, Wednesday when the kids came. Maybe it was Thursday. I think it was Thursday. Anyway, it was one of those days, the busyness of my schedule. So I'm in my office, and I'm busy, and then I have to show one of my bosses around, so we're walking around the YOC. My watch goes off. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I have a meeting in 10 minutes. I have to get to that. But it didn't stress me out because I'm like, okay, now I can get away from my boss. I hope she's not watching. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But no, so I thought, well, that's just what I got to do. So I went to that. And in that meeting, unbeknownst to me, was the superintendent that I need to talk to. And I said, hey, I need your signature. And I told him why. And he said, I'll be glad to sign that, Craig. I said, okay, I'll get it to you. And so I was like, praise the Lord. This is something that I knew I had to accomplish. Didn't quite know how I was going to accomplish it, especially in the busyness of the week, but it had to be done this week. And God was like, I got this. I got this. Okay, that's what it means to abide in Christ. And students, you guys are the same way. I'm talking about jobs and stuff, but your life is extremely busy as well. All right, you do have school. You have stressful situations at school. You have sports. You have clubs. And all of this weighs on your mind just like it does for an adult. And you're thinking, well, how am I going to accomplish this? Well, I got to get this project done, or I have to read this book, or I've got to work out because I need to do that every day to get better at my sport, or I got to be at practice at this time, but then I have to have time for my homework, but mom and dad want me to be over here as well. And it's the same way for you. Abide in Christ. That's the answer. That's the answer. And it takes that stress away from you. It takes that stress away. Now, it doesn't mean we're not going to be stressed out at times. Okay? That's when we need to lean upon the Lord even more. But what it means to abide in Christ is that daily walk with Christ. And that daily walk with Christ, I want to tell you, a big part of that is starting your day with the Lord. In prayer, in Scripture. That doesn't mean you have to pick up your Bible and read the whole thing every day before you go to school. No, you don't. No, Mom, Dad, can't go today. I got to read my Bible. No. Start your day there. Okay, many of you know I do a devotion on Facebook and on TikTok every morning, Monday through Friday, with a few exceptions. Do you know why I do that? It's not for you. It kind of is, but it's for me. Because I found that if I'm accountable to my audience, I have to get up and do that, and so I do. And what does that do for me? It keeps me in the Word. I have to study to present that properly. And I know that. Believe me, I've test drove this many times. If I'm not doing that, there are days that go by I'm not in the Word. So I do that for two reasons. Number one, so that the audience that is out there with me on TikTok and Facebook, that they can perhaps start their day in Scripture by listening to a three-minute devotion, literally right at 3 minutes every day. If you can't do anything else, there's a three-minute devotion you can listen to on your way to work or whatever. They can start with that. But also, again, it holds me accountable as well. And so that's part of how I abide in Christ. Think of it this way. We'll get back to the Scripture. Think of it this way. I'm one that I battle with allergies. How many of y'all battle allergies? It's like, it's awful, isn't it? It's just, if I don't take my medicine, I'm just an absolute mess. So, let's suppose you battle with allergies and you go to the doctor and you say, Doc, here's the deal. Man, I've got like snot running down my face and I'm all stuffed up. And I don't get if it's running down my face, how can I be stuffed up? But that's the way it is. And then I get this headache, and then I'm just miserable. I just feel awful. And it just really takes away the joy that I have in my day. It takes away my patience. It takes away any kindness or love that I want to share because I'm just miserable because of my allergies. And he says, okay, well, let's get you some allergy medication. Great. Here's your allergy medication. So take it every day, and then that'll help you. That's the answer. And then come back to me in 3 months. Let's see how you're doing. Okay, great. So you leave and you go and take the allergy medication, and you come back to the doctor. How you doing? I'm not doing so good, Doc. Oh, well, why not? Well, I don't know. I'm like stuffy and headache and achy, and it robs me of my joy, and it's just awful. I'm just like battling even to get through the day. Well, you're taking your allergy medication. Yeah, I am. I take it every Sunday morning. You're not taking it every day? No, I take it on Sunday morning. Oh, well, how do you feel on Sundays? Oh, I feel great. I feel great on Sunday. But I don't take it the rest of the week. I feel awful. Okay, go take the medicine every day. Come back and see me in 3 months. So 3 months goes by. And you go back to the doctor. How you doing? I'm not doing so good. Well, what's going on? I still have all this. I'm achy, headache, sinus pressure, snot running down my face, all this stuff. Why are you taking your medicine? Because last time you said you want to take it on Sunday. Oh, yeah, I'm taking it on Sunday, and I'm also taking it on Wednesday nights as well. Okay, well, how do you feel on Sunday? I feel great on Sunday. Okay, and you're taking it Wednesday night? Yep. How do you feel on Thursdays? Oh, I feel good on Thursdays too, but the rest of the week I'm just not feeling good at all. You understand what I'm telling you, right? If you abide in Christ, we're communing with God every day. And when you do, you will recognize it in your life. You will. I promise you that simply because of the promises that He gives us in Scripture. Let's go back. In verse 4, He says, "Abide in me and I in you, that I in you is when we're saved, you know, Christ comes into our heart and he's with us as we walk through every day. Tammy and I were talking about this morning. So he walks with us every day. So he says, abide in me and I in you. Okay, so what does it mean to abide in Christ? Does that just mean like reading scripture every day? No. He says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. So he's saying, if you don't take your allergy pill, it's not going to be any better. You need me. Unless you abide in me, all right, you can do nothing. So he says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. You can't bear fruit. What fruit is he talking about? These scriptures are oftentimes, I think, misinterpreted. Thank you. I always look to Gary and Beth. They always help me with my words here. So he's not talking about producing disciples in that sharing the gospel and leading someone to Christ. That's not the fruit. It's not like the parable of the sower and the seeds, and he goes out and he sows the seeds, and some fall on rocky soil, and some falls amongst the thorns, and some falls on good soil. And that's talking about bringing people to Christ and producing 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. I think Christians really get hung up on themselves sometimes of going, man, I'm supposed to go out and lead people to Christ, and if I don't do it, then I'm awful. No. That's a part of what we do. But here, the Lord says, and this is mainly what we do, he says, abide in me and produce fruit. What is the fruit? He's using the allegory here. Well, what is the fruit that he's talking about? Look at Galatians chapter 5. This is going to be familiar to you. Some of you could probably quote it. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is the fruit he's talking about in John chapter 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. Who are the two groups of the branches? Those who are saved, who have committed themselves to Christ, and those who come to church or do the religious thing but never commit themselves. He says, I am the true vine. If you abide in me, those who are justified, you will produce much fruit. What is the fruit? Look at it again. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what we are to do every day. To go out and produce those attributes. To share the love of God. That's what we have to do as Christians in our daily walk. Folks, let me tell you, it's not hard. When you have Jesus in your heart, it's not hard to love others. To do it genuinely. And when you abide in Christ, that's going to happen every day in your life because your focus is on Him and your life will reflect that of Jesus Himself. Let me ask you this. Let me go to the youth because they're going to be able to answer this more than anybody. How many of y'all saw the video that went viral? They're calling it the Coldplay video. Yep. They all smiled. Yep. Adults, Coldplay video? Yep. Okay. So here was the Coldplay. They're a musical group. Are they country or? I don't even know. No. Lindley is like, no. Okay. So they're a musical group. Let's leave it at that. So what happened, and this video went viral, and putting the people aside, okay, I want you to take the people out of your mind, although I'm going to talk about them, but it's not about them. So they're at this concert, and they start showing people on the big screen. Like, hey, and you know, and people go, oh, I'm on the big screen and all this, hey. And then they show this one couple, and he's got his hands around her and all that. Well, guess what? That's not his wife. And she's not at the concert. And that's not her husband. And he's not at the concert. And so what made the video go viral was, as soon as they saw themselves on the screen, they were like, oh, gosh, what do I do now? And they're trying to get, if they would have just stood there, no one would have ever known, except people at the concert, okay? This guy was a CEO of a major tech company. It cost him his job. She was head of HR at the same company. It cost her her job. Here's my point, okay? When you abide in Christ, you don't have to worry about if someone shines a spotlight on you because you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Amen? When you abide in Christ, see, that's the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian, or what the difference should be. We all stumble, we all fall, we understand that. But the difference should be that. If you shine a light on my life at any point in my life, it should be glorifying to God. I shouldn't be embarrassed about what you're seeing. That's the difference. So when we abide in Christ, that's what it should look like. Let's see what Jesus says about this. My goodness, I thought this sermon was going to be short. It'll be short. I won't speak as much in two weeks. I won't speak as much. So, okay. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. We know the fruit, right? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness. I'm out of order here. Self-control, patience. So he'll bear much fruit. Much fruit. Okay, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, here's something I want you to hear. Verse 6. This is the Judas group. This is the group that hasn't committed to Christ. Okay, they might be doing the church thing, they may not, but this is that group. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, this is not talking about losing your salvation. Let's make that clear. He has already said you are all clean. That's his audience. They are justified in him. They are not going to be ripped out of his hand. So when he's speaking to the 11 disciples and looking back, like we did at other scripture, and understanding what it means to be clean, and we thought that verse may have been a little out in left field, but really it's key here. This is not talking about losing your salvation. He said, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Let's spend just a couple minutes on this. He says, if you are not of me, justified, if you are not a follower of Christ, connected to the vine and abiding with him, all right, you are not producing any fruit. What does the vine dresser, God the Father, do? He cuts that vine off. It's not producing any fruit. Get rid of it so that the vines that are producing fruit can produce more fruit. So he says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch. All right? He. Notice the singular, he. It's your responsibility to come to Christ as he calls. It's your responsibility to abide in him. So he says, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them, now we're plural, because it's not just one person, right? Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Narrow is the path that leads to salvation. And they gather them at the return of Christ, right? And cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Don't miss that. That's the warning. Jesus is speaking of Judas, but he's speaking to those also who are like Judas. And you may be uncomfortable with that. And quite frankly, if you've not accepted Christ as your Savior, I hope you're uncomfortable with that, because the Scripture says that if we are not justified in Christ, that we are going to be cut away and gathered up and thrown into the lake of fire, and we will burn not until we're gone, but that fire lasts for eternity. It is eternal suffering. And that is those who are not in Christ. That is the warning here. But let's get back to in verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So we're back to talking about those who are justified in Christ. So he says, if you abide in me, that daily walk, and my words abide in you, that's important, then whatever you ask, it will be done for you. Does that mean I can just pray and ask for anything and it'll be done? No. He said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, if you abide in me and I abide in you, and my word abides in you, then whatever you ask will be given to you. You see, at that point, you're aligned with the heart and the mind of Christ. And you're not going to ask anything unless it is the will of God, because you've reached a point in your spiritual walk and that maturity where you say, not my will be done, Lord, but your will be done. And so what this is a guarantee that God's will be done. And we need to pray that His will be done. So that's what that verse is all about. In verse 7, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That effectual prayer. Verse 8, my Father is glorified in this. All right, so he's telling, if you wake up and you go, how do I glorify God today? How do I do that? Well, here we go. My Father is glorified in this, that you bear much fruit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, patience, perseverance, that you bear much fruit, that you abide in Him. My Father is glorified in this. Lord, I want to glorify you today. Then produce much fruit. Go out and love others. Go out and be patient with others. I say it's not hard. And this is why he says, I abide in you, you abide in me. Because see, and I can, let me go specifically to patience. Apart from Christ, I don't know that I have any. So it would be hard to be patient without God going, be patient, I'm sovereign, I'm over all things, okay. But really, frankly, even apart from God, we have no love, because God is love. So I can't even express love without Christ abiding in me and me abiding in Him. Now you might say, well, there's lots of people that love that or do kind things or are patient, but they're not in Christ. Well, wait a minute. Why are we created to glorify God? So if we're abiding in Christ, we do all things for the glory of God. Love, patience, kindness, goodness, all those fruits. If you're not in Christ, then you do those things for selfish motives. No, I don't. Oh, really? Why do you love? So that people will know that I love them. Why are you patient? So that people will look at me as a patient person. Oh. Why are you kind? Because I want people to see me as kind. See, that's the selfishness of the motive. But the Christian, why do you love? Why are you patient? Why are you kind? Why do you put forth gentleness? Why do you do all these things? So that God will be glorified and so that others will be drawn to Him. That's why we do it. If you abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you, verse 8, let's go, my Father is glorified in this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. There's your proof, that be my disciples. So, bear much fruit. He breaks down a little bit more. He says, verse 9, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. What does abide mean? Well, it means abide in his love. Listen, if you get nothing else today, hear me. God loves you. God loves you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you. God loves you. It says it here. Abide in my love. Verse 10, well, how do I abide in your love? What does that look like? Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. Abiding in my love is abiding in me. So abiding in Christ is what? Keeping his commandments. What are the commandments? Well, Jesus said to this audience, okay, let me say why the disciples were there. He had rebuked the Sadducees, and a Pharisee came up and said, Lord, which is the greatest commandment? And he was trying to trick Jesus. You know, what kind of person tries to trick God the Father, or Jesus? What? It's impossible. But anyway, he tried. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Watch out now. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, all the other commandments are encompassed in these. So how do we abide in Christ? We abide in his love. Well, how do we abide in his love? We keep his commandments. What is commandments? Love God and love your neighbor. It's that easy, folks. Love God and love your neighbor. And if you're starting your day, every day, in the presence of the Lord, with scripture, with prayer, whatever works for you, but get in the presence of God, then you will love God and you will love your neighbor. It is really that simple. Verse 10 again. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What was his Father's commandment to him? That he die on the cross for our sins and pay that sin debt. He said, just as I kept that commandment from my Father, so you too keep the commandments and abide in my love, just as the Father has loved me. He loves you also. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Listen, how do you have joy in your life? Isn't that what we want, right? I don't care how hard life is, but I want to have joy. You know, I want to please my Lord. So he says, if you do these things I have spoken to you, abide in me. I have spoken that to you, that my joy may be in you. But not just joy, and that your joy may be made full. The utmost, the greatest joy. That's what it means to abide in Christ. He is the vine, we are the branches. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. I want to ask you a question. I started this morning, and I'm wrapping up, folks, by explaining the context of this scripture, and that this scripture is speaking to two groups. Right? Two groups. Those who are justified in Christ. If you want more on that, go read Romans chapter 5. I won't read it, but go there. But those who are justified in Christ, Those are those who produce fruit. And God prunes us. Sometimes that hurts, but we produce more and more fruit. More and more and more fruit. And the second group is those who are not justified in Christ. They're doing some good things, maybe. They're in church. They're trying to do their best, but they've not confessed Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's what you have to do. That is your first step in abiding in Christ, is saying, Lord, forgive me my sin. I want to turn away from that sin, and I want to follow you. I want you to be Lord of my life. That's the first step.